Power on.
Ask Drone You.
Welcome, everybody. Paul Aiken and Rob Burdick are here. Welcome to episode number 2, and thank you for joining us on this podcast from Drone U. We're excited to have you with us, and we want to jump right into a question that we've gotten. And so, Paul, we've had questions about why one might consider spending more money on a drone, because you can go anywhere from $50 for a drone up to $5,000 and even beyond that. So can you talk to our listeners about why they might want to consider spending more on a drone depending upon their needs?
Well, you know, Rob, I think this is such an important question and one that we get so often. And in fact, my email is full of, should I try this drone or this drone? And I have to remind people all the time, there's a reason why the DJI flight controllers, why the 3D flight controllers like the Pixhawk cost as much as they do. Frankly, they're just reliable. They're really good. When you go into the cheaper drones, like the Ghosts and the, there's a couple other knockoff drones out there. When you go into those, there are so many things that you can't see, problems that lie kind of beneath the surface, Rob.
Right.
You know, when you buy a cheaper car, you have to be worried about, you know, the cheaper parts, right?
Absolutely.
So with drones, now there are so many parts involved between the ESCs and the motors, the flight controller, and the battery. So when you have a cheaper drone, One of the things that it can actually cause a real significant problem is on the inside of the motor. You know, they have the brushless motors, and they have this coating over the copper. And that coating does three things. Number one, it limits the magnetic interference from the motors to the compass. It also provides a more efficient motor, so it's reducing the heat. So when the motor spins, it's a more efficient motor, i.e. less energy is used by the battery and less energy by the ESC. So when you have a cheaper coating, that coating will actually break up and fragment inside of the motor, causing it to spin slower, get inside the bearings, and then finally fail. So the motor will actually start heating up, and then the motor will fail. So this could be, you know, you may end up spending $500 on a drone, and a Phantom may cost you, you know, $1,500, but I'll say this, you may have to buy 3 or 4 of those drones to have the life of one Phantom.
Okay, so understanding all of that, we still have those folks that are just getting started flying a drone. They probably don't want to be sending even a $500 drone up into the air, understanding that it's likely they're going to crash at least once or twice.
They're probably going to crash a few times. They're probably going to, you know, break propellers. I mean,
yes.
Just like what we've done outside.
Yes, I appreciate you saying we. / Rob, but that's okay.
Well, you're still learning, Rob, just
yes.
a lot like our students. And, you know, that's a good thing, because the passion of flight has really elevated your imagination. Would you say that?
Oh, my gosh. It took one flick of the buttons and getting the propellers going, and I was hooked. It's incredible. But that said, what do you recommend for somebody to start with from the very beginning? And then at what point should they transition?
So have you ever seen that movie Baby Steps, where they say you should take things really, really slowly? It's a 90s movie with Bill Murray.
Okay, I was alive in the 90s. I do remember that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just like with drones, I think it's best for people to take baby steps, because really the only way someone's going to master flight is if they're doing it consistently every day. So if you were to start with a drone and you've never flown before and you don't want to break a bunch of props or risk a $1,000 or more rig, I really recommend the Sima SYMA X50. The Sima X50 is a smaller kind of mock Phantom. It only costs $50, and it's such a great practice tool if you're flying inside or outside. The reason I recommend this is your movement on the sticks on that small drone, Rob, they're exaggerated. I mean, you really move the sticks all the way out to really get that Sima to move. You know, and then when you step up gradually in the drone world, those movements are gonna get smaller and smaller. So when I say we're taking baby steps, we're gonna take that baby step with the Sima X50, real small, $50. You can crash it as much as you want. In fact, my roommate has crashed one a few hundred times, so I know that.
And it's still going.
Well, it was going
sort
until
of.
It hit the snow in the park, but
well,
if you remember that.
Everything has a shelf life.
That is true. That is true. So if you are just getting started out, I highly recommend the Sima X50. Like I said, practice with that over and over till you get comfortable with it, till you can make it hover, because it doesn't have GPS in it. So as soon as you can make it hover on its own and not move, I think you're doing pretty good.
Okay, and then for this episode here, maybe we take it one more step. Once somebody feels like they have a pretty good handle on flying the Sima, what might be the next step? And I understand that the answer to that question may depend on what their end use is going to be, but in general, what might be a kind of a middle drone after that?
See, I would say if you have the confidence to fly the Sima X50, it's time to go up to a Phantom, because any step between is going to cost you a few hundred bucks and really just delay your development. If you can fly the Sima X50 confidently, you're going to be able to confidently fly a Phantom. So I would go up to a DJI Phantom 2. What you could do is, instead of adding on the gimbal and the camera, you could just fly the Phantom around without any of those extra add-ons and just get used to flying the Phantom by itself. Once you're comfortable with that, throw on the gimbal, throw on the camera, and start practicing flying via FPV. So it'll really take your experience again to the next level. And it is this nice progression into the drones. You know, and Rob's going through that right now. So would you say it's fun?
It's beyond fun. I mean, I could see it's kind of like the internet. I mean, you get a drone in the air in the sense that time flies, and before you know it, your day's gone. Of course, you have battery life to deal with the drone.
That's true.
So you can't have hours fly by like the internet. But the point is, it's addictive and it's a lot of fun. And there are just so many incredible things that you can do with a drone, which I'm learning here from Paul as we go along here. Any last words, Paul, for our listeners?
I would say if you guys have any questions, make sure to check our website, www.thedroneu.com. There's an Ask Drone You section, so if you have any questions like the ones you've heard today or any questions in general, feel free to ask us. You can even record your question, and your question will be played later on the show and answered on the show. That being said, guys, I love to fly, and if you're a lot like me, then you love to fly too, and learning is something that we all kind of do together. Even Rob, as a part of Drone U, he's what I call a part of the bald-headed bureau in the back, and he is one of the driving forces of Drone U. But he's a lot like you guys in the fact that he is just learning too. So take an adventure with us, lower your learning curve, lower your costs, and stick with Drone U. My name's Paul.
And this is Rob. Thank you so much for being with us.
Ask Drone U. Ask Drone U. Ask Drone U.